was going to talk about something. I read it in somebody using this image in a book, Ezra Bidra, whose book I had somebody dropped off here. And he kind of had a nice way of putting it, which is he's a disciple of Joko Beck, and the hard and the soft, kind of another way of looking at the duality we all face in training. Because on one hand, training is this work. I mean, just face it, coming here is work. You know, you just sat there for an hour, most of you, looking at a wall. You know, reading the Sunday paper is a little more easier than that. There's all this effort in the practice. And on the other hand, there's a softness. You're supposed to accept what's going on. Just relax, be at peace, not make a problem out of it. You know, just be there. And there's a tension, actually, between the two, and you can actually fall off either sides, where you're really, you know, sometimes I look at people and they're so driven. And sometimes I look at people and they're so laid back. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, duh, are you ever going to do anything? It's nice to be at peace, but you should actually, on the other hand, you have to change some of the what really is causing suffering. And I can even smile. Not long ago, I did a class here where the person was, one of the people who's not a regular here, she kind of calls me up all excited afterwards. That helped me so much. I finally feel like I'm just a normal person and my problems are normal. I'm doing okay, all the rest. And a few days later, she said, I don't need to practice anymore. I'm I thought, okay. I felt like that wasn't quite the point I was trying to make. You actually were suffering to some extent before the class. You know, this hasn't solved anything. Just the fact that probably your problems are relatively normal, but normal people actually aren't doing that well. That's why we're training. I mean, normal people are having a hard time go around in the world. They're still, you know, it's a normal person who's, you know, having great anxiety, worried, you know, having great fear arise, not at peace. These are all conditions. They're very normal. And when somebody tells me, wow, I'm really tense and worried, I don't go, God, what's wrong with you? I tend to go, well, that's a normal aspect of living. And
well, that's very interesting, because that's exactly what was kind of going on with me during meditation this morning, that kind of, you know, effort and then just relax and go with it. And it's a real tricky thing.
Yeah, there's a balance. It's in the meditation periods in our practice. It's a balance between the fact that we both have to change. And that's the whole purpose of training, is changing. You know, there is a problem here. We're not at peace. We're making messes in our lives. We're not the person we wish we, you know. And it's okay. You know, we don't have to make a problem out of it. We don't have to be disturbed by it. But the nature of karma is disturbance will come up. Problems will come up. So it's both like in sitting meditation, the full awareness to the moment. And then seeing the fact that that full awareness is an awareness often of how difficult we're finding things, how our mind is latching on to things, is so busy, so hard, so judgmental, so critical. So burning with desire, for instance, God, I want, or God, I don't want. And it's discipline to actually come back and to acceptance. It's not like, wow, acceptance, wow. All you have to do is accept. God, that's work. I mean, that's a discipline, just like it's a discipline just to be there at the wall, just be there. Be aware of what it is, but it's discipline. Then not to hold on to it, but to let go of it. You know, not to make a problem out of it, but not to kind of build or, you know, kind of get hooked into it. Because that's actually kind of key, because the more we let go of things and allow things just to be seen without the strong attachment, then we can actually see them in a much clearer light, which is a discipline. Often we really believe what our mind's generating. Just think of when we're critical. It's like, there's somebody I can think of who I kind of wasn't, in my dealing with her, I made some mistakes, but the person became very critical of me, and it's not even useful for me to admit the mistakes because it just confirms that she's right. If you follow what I'm saying, it's like, they weren't bad mistakes, but yeah, I could have done some things better. But it's almost like they're locked in because I've talked to somebody, other people, and it's like, how do I get this person to, you know, just to relax, just to kind of see maybe they're wrong. You know, and the fact that I was wrong, well, that's, to me, that's not a big, you know, deal. You know I made mistakes, but in a way, that's my training. Her training is to let go of it and see what's the bigger picture, which is, okay, if I blew something, I blew something. You know, why were they so upset about? You know, they have to let go of the upset. And, you know, and it's a discipline not to always believe what our mind is generating. If our mind is, all we have to do is realize, think of what our mind's generated, and realize how much of it has been utter nonsense in our life. I mean, just look back. God, I needed this. I can't do this. This person, our motive, our pictures of what other people are doing, how little reality there was often in it, how much we just generated it on ourselves. And it's a discipline just to kind of force ourselves not to so believe what we're telling ourselves. It's a discipline to keep coming back. It's a discipline just to put up with the ups and downs of practice. You know, we talk about acceptance, but we don't usually want to accept, wow, this is hard now. It's like somebody who's, you know, I was doing, you know, meditation and talking to somebody in the person saying, God, meditation is really hard. Like, you know, almost like I'm getting something wrong here. And I kind of go, that sounds normal. It's okay. You know, it's okay. You know, there's not something going wrong if you're finding it hard to do it. However, if you don't make a problem out of it, it's ups and downs. It's not like it's hard. There's a softness there. Like, it's not. You know, just like if you do, just think of just meditating as you all just did. You know, we, you know, did the meditation. It's hard and it's not hard. And, you know, and discipline's important. The hardness has an aspect that we need, but we often use it as a crutch, you know, as a way of judging ourselves, almost like people will express, almost like, you know, without it, I'll go splat. And it's, to some extent, it helps. I mean, there is a place of disciplining yourself, you know, of, you know, Master G used to kind of talk about, in a way, the monastery's a girdle, kind of helps keep your karma. Contain your karma. And it does, you know, you have that schedule. You know, you're at the Abbey, think about it. You know, you follow that schedule, it's kind of hard to, you know, you have all this structure and all the rest. And it's even why you can often think you're doing much better than you are until you leave and you realize. If you follow what I mean, it's like, you feel like, wow. You know, the flip side is I can remember this one fellow who, to my amazement, kind of came to the Abbey, I remember, did a beginner's retreat, and he said, can you print me up a schedule? I'm going to follow this when I'm not here. And sure enough, he worked for himself, and he just put himself on a schedule like that and followed it and decided, you know, and actually wanted to be a monk. And it was funny. And he's really was really a, somebody who could discipline himself. I was very impressed. I never could do something like that. I mean, it's inconceivable. I could just go home and force myself to kind of wake up, do meditation mornings, you know, the same way, follow that whole daily schedule. However, I remember when he wanted to be a monk, I just kind of, I was talking to other seniors, and I just said, I said, it'll be interesting to see what happens to him when he hits a wall, when things get hard, because, you know, it's, because he needed that softness of acceptance of not realizing, because he felt like he was making progress all the time, you know, it's like, it was straightforward, this was all. And actually, it's not that, you know, you have to actually, you're not going to feel like, wow, every day in every way it gets better and better. You know, if that's, you know, that's just not anyone's experience. You know, in fact, at times things are very hard. And that it's the heart, and if you're hard on yourself, it's like something is wrong. And this is what people will often feel, almost, which is kind of built into us, and when things are difficult, hard, or feel bad, something is wrong, and I should be doing something, and it takes that softness of what is really going on here, where's these problems coming from. You know, often if you're looking at a wall not doing anything, it's like, it's not this discipline that, you know, it's just the nature of things. Karma's going to, you know, our own difficulties are going to come up, and and a lot of training is, you know, in learning to both trust ourselves, yet still, which is a softness, yet still see that we're a mess. You know, two sides of the same thing. As they say in Buddhism, you have to see with another way of looking at this is there's a famous saying that you have to see all is one. Which is the acceptance. Everything is the Buddha. All is different. There's good and bad. We're both breaking the precepts and keeping them, making a mess and cleaning up. All is different. You know, this world of duality. And you have to bring the two together. It's actually what the characters of Sandokai mean. All is one, all is different, together. And the softness is all is one. Everything's a Buddha. You know, in fact, that's almost what the person who didn't feel he needed to practice. It's all okay. But actually, it's not okay when we experience it, and that's the truth. To say it's all okay is quite an accomplishment. That's the journey's end. We keep pointing ourselves, and when I have a problem, I can't just sit there and make it okay. But I can keep pointing myself. It's okay, Karen. Like, and literally, at times I'm telling myself, relax, it's okay. Let things fall. If things fall apart, it's okay. If things hurt, it's okay. Because actually, I don't want it. You know, this. The reality is, no, it's not. I'm experiencing it as not okay. Like that, this isn't what I want. This isn't the reality I want. I want a different reality. That's less painful, that's more comfortable.
Training is bringing the two together, then all is one and all is different.
Yeah. You have to see that there's both a mess and that there's and that it's okay. You know, that there's both good and bad. And there's, you know, that's, and there's that which is beyond.
And you're not going to obliterate the good and the bad.
They'll always be there.
They'll always be there.
There's always, you know, as long as you live, you'll still always be making a mess to some extent or other, because you're not going to see everything, know everything. You're not going to be perfect. You know, which seems obvious, but often we don't want to face that obvious fact. We almost have a picture, almost like the image in our culture. Oh, you can be enlightened, and then almost you won't make a mistake. But, you know, when you read the accounts of the Buddha, he made mistakes. You know, the most famous one in the scriptures is he gave a whole talk on transience and emptiness and, you know, sort of the meaninglessness of things and all the rest. Not an unusual Buddhist theme. And some of the monks killed themselves. They actually thought that's what he was obviously teaching, that there's no... And so he kind of thought, okay, that wasn't the best way. You know, that wasn't the best way to teach. He taught something that was true, but only if you overemphasize any one thing, just like the person who kind of, in a way, for their situation, they wanted to hear that they're okay. And somehow that was enough. And maybe for this time in their life, that is enough. Because for somebody who feels there's really a problem, just to kind of recognize it's not a big deal is a huge thing. And sometimes maybe they're not, you know, that's enough at this point in their life. So it's not something wrong. I mean, people come here and stop coming here because at this point in their life, this is all they really, you know, it fit a need. And the need isn't always there, you know. Sometimes just living a normal life for somebody is a great accomplishment. You know, just to be, you know, just to get by isn't for some people. It's not a little thing. It's a big thing. You know, so it's really where we are. But, you know, and it's... And it's just, it's important to be, because we can go, you can look at your life and see how you can go off both by being too hard and too soft. You know, like, oh, this is okay. It's not, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, and I'll hear it when I talk to people, but it's like, everything's so fine. Then, well, you mean you don't have any mess you're still trying to deal with? Or, God, all there is a mess, you know. You know, you'll talk to somebody and it's like there's nothing that doing, you know, all they see is they're a mess. They don't recognize either that they're cleaning or that there's a lot more than just the mess. You know, it's not like they're doing everything wrong either. And you can just look at that. You can just think, oh. You know, so it's like, can you let go of, like, you know, so, you know, you can have relentless self-judgment and self-criticism. You can have really strong opinions of how practice should be. You know, and it's even one thing I'll run across with other monks. Sometimes they're actually just fixated on this is what practice is. And it's... There's a hardness there. Actually, things are much more open. The path, the road is much bigger than any. It's why, it's not like, wow, this is the path. You know, like, you know, you're here at the Priory following this teaching. This is the way. The way's much bigger than this. But on the other hand, you still have to make the effort to follow. You know, there's still that effort that it takes to, you know, it's not enough just to say, well, everything is the way. Because actually, a lot of things are going the wrong way. I mean, you can go the wrong way. I mean, it's, or you can go nowhere. I mean, I know a lot of people in a way, when I look at their life, and it may not be a bad thing, but on some levels or other, you get a feeling like they're just treading water. They're staying in the same spot. And, you know, it's almost like they're waiting for something to happen that'll force them to take a deeper look at what's going on. You know, sort of coasting on the surface. It's like things don't hurt yet. And I'm okay. There's no problem here. I just don't want to think about, like, where my life is going, really. That's why, you know, often people will find it so, like those contemplations I put in the newsletter article. That's an example of how you can find, okay, this is reality, but I don't want to, it's depressing. And you have to think, wow, old age and death is depressing. Well,
considered the alternative.
Yeah. You know, there isn't, you know, this is all, you know, you find, yeah, the alternative you find more depressing. Like, okay, death at not an old age, falling apart earlier.
And you don't want to wait until you're in a crisis situation to do the training, because it's much harder.
Yeah, well, the training is the training. You know, it's like saying, I'm only going to start cleaning this enormous task of cleaning only at the last minute. You know, it's like, okay, you'll get there and you'll actually look and realize you can't even deal with a lot of it, which is the case. You know, it's like a lot of it is going to just not be dealt with. And you realize when you're around somebody dying, I mean, they could be having a good death, but a lot of this stuff never got dealt with. You know, it's not like, wow, it's we get a clean slate. It's like it's, okay, it's going to keep, you know, it's from a Buddhist point of view and the way karma works, it has to get cleaned. You know, that's what's keeping us from actually fully recognizing the soft, from experiencing the life with that soft heart, you know, that is open and can see the Buddha wherever we are, that can face things without fear, without desire, which is real, the softness. The hardness comes from desire. That's why the hardness in training can come from that militant hardness. This is what I need to do. This is the way things are. And you can be brutal on yourself. I still remember this monk kind of had a nice story, a different tradition. But he was saying how he used to train so hard. And I remember he was describing his practice, and I thought, God, I wish I never could train that. You know, he was just somebody who could drive himself amazingly hard. And he goes up to his, you know, the master, who kind of says, why don't you just relax? Do it, but don't stop trying. You know, just don't try hard. Just do it. You know, don't make it, don't make a problem out of it, or don't do anything special. Don't think there's a problem. Just do it. And he said, it's funny. He was, 99% of what he did was exactly the same. He just took that push out of it, almost like he's trying to get somewhere, rather than realizing the discipline is to keep coming back, to keep coming back to the softness while still seeing what is wrong. Okay, that's laziness coming up, that's greed coming up, that's fear coming up. What do I do there? And that's the discipline, but the discipline is to be soft in the midst of the difficult circumstances, but still face them. And when we really look at what's going on, a lot of it we're going to find life is difficult. Not all the time, but if we're not training, then we're actually helping the difficulties grow. Almost like not doing what we need to do. Like the person who on April 14th pulls open a drawer of just that they've thrown everything in for the last year. And it's like, okay, you know, it's, we didn't save time by doing it this way. Because everything is fine, the clear thing is, doesn't mean that's what our experience is. And often what training for a lot of people is trying to put sort of a fake cosmetic overlay over reality, saying this is all good. When actually they have to recognize, no, they're experiencing it. What are they experiencing? It's a great accomplishment to see it as good. You can't just say, wow, this is all fine. This doesn't bother me. I'm not finding this hard. And that's actually the fact that things are hard. And there's no, you know, and how do we deal with it? And then can we be find that softness in the midst of that hard difficulty? You know, and that's discipline, to keep softening the resistance that we have to reality, but facing reality. You know, facing our defilements. Like, wow, this really bothers me. I really want this. I'm really envious here. I really don't think this is fair. This isn't fair. Of course, a lot of what we do is spin off from reality. You know, kind of create, just try not to be where we are. Think of it. That's why we find it so hard to be present. Because actually, we don't like the present that much. If we did, we would be there. I mean, there's a good reason why the world's full of people not being where they are. You know, a world of people almost wanting to live in video games, iPods. I have an iPod, but I just don't walk around with it all the time. Not that there's, I mean, they're all have their place, but, you know, it's a real discipline to kind of experience this as being okay without just trying to experience the distraction, the dream. Yet we can still get caught up in our stuff. The flip side is we can get caught up where life is like this dark tunnel. You know, gloom. It's like, it came from something. It was a line, I forget from where. But it was very popular. What?
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Gloom, despair, and agony on me.
Yeah. Well, that's where,
dark depression, see, and utmost misery.
Yeah, we used to like that at the Abbey. You know, can you repeat that?
Gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, and utmost misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me.
Yeah, I think we only used to say the gloom, despair, and agony, but, you know.
I went into it in depth.
Yeah. You see the deep dharma of the hee-haw. Because I never remember watching hee-haw at the Abbey, but, you know, but.
Dharma's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that. See, I used to think that was a silly show. What did I know? But, you know, that kind of. The flip side is when we're in that darkness, the coming back is creating space and not just fixating, which is why it's so dark. Is God, you kind of just get stuck with the problem, with the hardness, with what's going on. Create a little space around it. Try, give yourself the dharma that it's okay. You know, that this isn't reality. In fact, we're not always in this dark place. You know, life isn't just gloom, despair, and misery. And just sit still. Trust that it's not. You know, let some openness come in, and that's a discipline. But that's to do that. But that is giving softness to the hardness we experience when, because that's what our heart feels like. Like, I can't put up with this. And you just get more space around it, and it's okay. It just hurts. I don't like being at this job, with this situation, dealing with this problem. And you know, and that's why, you know, that willingness to have some softness when we hit the hardness of confusion, because we don't like it. We hit the hardness of, you know, self, you know, where criticism, anxiety, discouragement. You know, can we just see it as just the arising and passing of something? Because all the softness comes not from getting everything the way we want. It comes from seeing that everything is just flowing through. In the end, doesn't even leave a trace. You know, it's just stuff. It's like, God, I've been miserable so many times in my life. Where is it right now? I've been happy. You know, it's just, it's all moving. You know, there's nothing there. And, you know, we don't have to struggle against the bad stuff. You know, that's hard. That's a hard approach. You know, You don't have to push it away or deny that it's existing, which is common too. Wow, everything is fine. You can say, no, there's a mess. It's okay. You just kind of let it, you know, with, and there's both the hardness of just forcing ourselves to see it and the softness of how we approach when we see it. And when we look at our training, we can see how we fall off both sides. Some of us have much more of a tendency to fall off one side than the other. But we still always fall off both sides. And when you hit a problem, you'll see how you can fall off both sides. And the softness is needed because otherwise we can't see the compassion or get the acceptance. The hardness is needed or we never do anything. I mean, getting up in the morning is, you know, we have to, you know, there's a discipline, you know, just like meditating. You know, it's, but it doesn't have to be, you know, the hardness doesn't have to be really hard, and the softness isn't just letting everything go splat. You know, both elements are there. You have to have a soft heart. You still have to have the discipline. You know, just like when we're experiencing heaviness, like things are so hard and heavy. You know, it's just the arising of this is deeply held beliefs and physical sensations going through us. You know, the way we're projecting it, holding it on. This is God. I have to. And the fact that it feels, we feel it. It's not just in our heads, our body, our whole being. You know, just look at somebody at times. You can see, you know, it's, their whole body is heavy. You know, just like you can look at people, you know, the classic one is they're looking down. Life is depressing, you know. The weight of the world, that expression. And you feel it. That's why it looks that way. You know, your body is experiencing it. But it just passes. And one of the ways the conversion happens between like the hardness instead of becoming the struggle and the striving, like, God, I have to be a different person. It becomes just willingness, which combines both the hard and the soft in that very word, willing. Willingness is what we need. Just the willingness to put up with what's there. Like the old Buddhist expression I always like. Hope for the best, prepare for the worst, do the possible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like we, as Buddhists, we don't want the best. But then, you know, somebody comes as saying a doctor. I definitely hope for the best. I usually want them to be prepared for, it may not go the way they want. And then you're going to just have to do whatever it is that you have to do. You know, do what you can. You know, any?
I was thinking how sometimes we think we're in charge of our emotions, and yet it may be that there's chemical things going on inside of us due to medication or lack of medication. And we're in a place where we think that this is the way it is, when in fact it's just a chemical reaction. And it's really good to keep that perspective too.
Well, in fact, it's good to keep in perspective we're not in charge of our emotions. Emotions are actually the arising of karma. We're not at all in charge of it. We're in charge of what we do with them when they arise. Thus, I can't stop myself from despair arising, or fear, or greed arising. Or say, wow, I have to like, let's say, an aversion to something, or somebody arising. It's what I do with it when it arises. And naturally, the chemical, the stuff, all we have to do is think some days, due to whatever's going on in our system, a problem is fine. Some days the same thing is driving us crazy. Haven't we had it where somebody did something had a habit of doing something and it was always okay, and then one day we blow up. And it's just our system that, you know, yeah, all those things matter. It's war, or else, you know, as you're saying, the chemical wouldn't change. You know, it tells you something that, you know, for some time, you know, if you can just take something and be really different, well, that, you know, it's like somebody, you know, if somebody is depressed and if they can take a medication that makes them not depressed, that says something. It's like, okay, because usually, you know, if that's telling you something, because there's something going on, if that can do it, for most of us, if we take the same medication, it won't have an impact, because the way our brain chemistry is, that's not where it comes from. And that's why they can't really, there's still no medication that takes away, wow, I can face problems a lot better taking this pill. They haven't really come up with that magical pill, and I don't think they can, because there's something very deep in karma on why we find things difficult. It's like saying, wow, I could take care of desire, which is what it would mean, and fear by just, you know, giving something. I mean, we have things that can numb you, but that's completely different. You know, you can be zonked out where you don't feel, and that they can do, but that's different. You know, that's nobody usually, you know, that's a whole different experience than kind of facing something.
When I was, several years ago, I was quite depressed. And it's kind of what you were saying. And I would get angry a lot. And I took Zoloft for a while. And it was kind of an interesting experience in that the anger would come up, but suddenly I had a second or two to change my mind. And that kind of was something, you know, some mystery there too. But it wasn't that it made me change how I felt.
No.
And general, but it did change. It gave me more control, and it gave me this couple of seconds to change my mind about how it was. And which is kind of what we're trying to do with the training often. Is that we're trying to change our minds about. Yeah. What arises?
Yeah, I mean, the stuff, naturally, it's just karma. Your anger wasn't rooted in a, you know, in the sense, in the biochemical thing, but you could have more of a response, because our brain chemistry is, I mean, in a way, the emotions are a physical, chemical thing. I mean, we're not, all of it is grounded in a, karmically in this body, and of course, nobody really understands how it goes, but it's probably, obviously, it's all our stuff is chemicals communicating in our brain. You know, it's like I even heard a doctor kind of say, you know, something that seems obvious, but I never actually thought of it in those terms. He said, remember, every medication that you take that does anything only does it because your body is capable of doing it. The medication isn't doing it, your body is actually doing it. All it is, all the medication's doing is triggering something in your body to do it. You know, kind of some chemical in your body that gets rid of, you know, because it's not the antibiotics going in there killing everything. The antibiotics is triggering things in your own body to go everywhere and kill everything, kill all those bacteria, and you know, and you have all these, you know, and all the chemicals, and it just. You know, so it is, you know, and it was a different way of looking at it, like narcotics are just hitting our center in our brain that can do that anyway. And it's all, but in the end, the thing driving us in Buddhism that we're recognizing is the way our desires and the reverse of that, which is our aversion and fears, are the real root of what's going on, because that's the real problem, that nothing, you know, it doesn't matter what the chemicals do. If you want and you don't get, you're not going to be happy. And to want to clean up this mess so we can let go of stuff and open our heart to what's there, which is a discipline and a hard thing to convert. There's no easy way around it. It's why, you know, there isn't. And that's why it takes the discipline. It takes both that softness of the acceptance and the hardness of, wow, this is going to take an awful lot of work. And it's why I can say, you know, I've met an awful lot of people in my many years as a monk, both in our tradition and in other traditions. And I never meet anybody who kind of talks, wow, this has been easy. You know, in fact, nobody I've ever met says this is easy now. You know, because there's still that discipline that they still need to have with the fact that they still, you know, have a mess. You know, they still see things that aren't, that they need to work hard at letting go of. And so, like, just the first thing that you can see both the hard and the soft in it is just being aware of something, to be open to it. If you get too hard, it's like overwhelming just to see what's wrong. If you get too soft, it gets like, oh, this is okay. When actually, you know, you have to find that balance between saying, wow, that's actually being selfish, being hard. And then a softness there that allows you to accept the fact that, yeah, there's something that's really not right. And that's okay. You know, that's normal. You know, that there's something really not right about us.
Master?
Yeah.
It seems like recently, or forever, when I sit and really feel what's going on, a lot of anger comes up, just a lot of anger, and it's not the kind of anger you can say, oh, I'm mad at this or that, it's just that anger. And then in my daily life, I kind of realize that I'm a little bit of a complainer. As I just, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I look at this anger and it just doesn't seem to be anything tangible, or, you know, if I look at it intellectually, it's just some anger that, I don't know, I got from somewhere that I can't really relate to anything. But it's somehow,
but you can actually relate it to it because it's coming up on all the complaining and everything
that's
else.
What
it means is that life, you have to remember, all anger is not getting what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not that subtle. When you look at it, in a way, life isn't, and this not a deep revelation for most of us, the reason there's anger in the world is life isn't giving people what they want. Whatever, you know, the work, the affirmation, the, you know, it's been, I remember I used to just have this incredibly strong feeling, I don't want to put up with this, or this isn't fair. And you have to kind of look at, again, when we're not being soft, when this hard judge, you know, and the seeds of it lie in looking carefully at where the problem is. Because in a way, if you're complaining, you know, what you're saying, that means there's an undertone in your life of lack of acceptance. That's what complaining is. And that means there's an undertone in your life of anger. Because
mm-hmm.
that's just the stronger edge of
complaining.
Of complaining, you know, that something feels unfair, which actually isn't unusual. You feel like a lot of times you can have a deep-seated feeling like, I got a raw deal. And often when people describe what they got, they think, yes. I mean, a lot of times somebody will tell me their karma, and I think, oh, God. You know, I mean, they did get a hard, you know, this is a, on a practical level, this was a raw deal. It's very hard karma to deal, you know. Sometimes somebody kind of, you know, I look at them and I think, it's amazing you're even nice, you know. You know what I mean? It's like, how did you turn out to be a nice person with this, you know. you know, kind of, it could have been easy to turn into somebody who was just furious and a hard, bitter person. On the other hand, you can still let all that stuff go, and that's the hard work. You still have to, you know, the person who's usually coming here isn't the hard, bitter person, because they don't usually, truthfully, they don't want to meditate. I don't meet any hard, bitter people who, you know, ever show up and do a meditation practice, because it's too painful to be that angry and sit still with, unless you have deep drive and somehow a deep, which helps us, a deep intuition of the softness of the fact that there's something okay and good. And that's actually what allows some people to face the really difficult karma, is a deep intuition of the softness, the all-embracing compassion of the Buddha, of the Buddha heart that actually knows it's okay. And to see the undertones in our life. And there's what you're describing, complaining, is we can have an undertone of just, God, I don't like this. God, I'm a mess. An undertone of something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with the world. Something's wrong with my job. I'm a failure. I'm a success. I don't want to be here. You know, I don't want to be dealing with this karmic situation. You know, whatever relationship, family, you know, all this other stuff we can have. And just to kind of, you know, realize that that's the karma. You know, that's what we have to, and that takes discipline just to change that tone, because that's a huge thing. The tone in our life is actually, you know, you're around some people, and God, they're brought, you know, it's often how it, you know, the clearest sign of how somebody's training is there's a tone to their life. You know, like somebody who's training well, there's kind of an open willingness and something positive going on. If somebody's, even if they're going through something difficult, I'll see somebody being, you know, and I've been around people and it's like impressive. Like they're going through something really hard and somehow it's okay. And, you know, you'll see it in the Sangha. You know, somebody will have some rough karma and they're somehow okay. And you realize, okay, that's actually something. Even though they may still be, I mean, inside they're still having karma come up, you know, like this isn't fair, this is, but, you know, it's not the dominant tone. While you're right, some people, there's a dominant tone of complaining, for instance, or life is hell, like the cartoon. The one who did
Life in Hell, Matt Groening.
Yeah, Matt. Did Life is Hell.
The Life is Hell, yeah.
You know, and I mean, for some people, that's, you know, it's just like a lot, an awful lot of humor is, you know, people making jokes of how much they suffer. But it's just, you know, they're, you realize when you hear about their lives, they are suffering. You know, they were, you know, you'll hear this comedian, he had clinical depression his whole life. And, you know. And you'll think, oh God, it wasn't bad that he could make jokes about it. But, and that's a discipline of what do? Just like we can be complaining about the person, you know, in our relationship, like, you know, keeps coming back that we're just, I don't like this about them. Why are they this way? And it's a discipline to find that softness of kind of accepting and just embracing what's there. Because it's not our karma to make them into something else. Our karma, we can embrace our karma is to embrace ourselves and still try to clean it up. Realize we're actually hurting ourselves when we allow ourselves to complain. Hurting ourselves when we don't want to put up with our karma.
I remember once hearing that Reverend Master Jiu had written an article called Uncomplaining All Acceptance. And I read it and I really liked it. Every time I try to recall the name of the article, I would always come up with All Complaining Unacceptance. Well, that's an interesting Freudian slip. I started noticing how maybe that's my attitude.
Yeah, well, that's the opposites arise. You know, and, yeah, and to bring it, You know, and again, a lot of training is bringing the opposites together, as I oppose the hard and the soft together, where it's just, you're just training. You know, it's like that expression they use, which sometimes isn't meaningful, of just train. You know, just do what you can, but with it. You know, just deal with it. You know, no, you know, let go of the judgments, let's go. Just do what's right in the situation and try to let go. And that has the openness in it. Like, I feel like hell. Okay. Don't pretend you don't. It's not a problem. Let go. You feel great? Let go. It's going to change. You'll feel miserable again. You know, because I actually worry sometimes when somebody tells me how well, how great everything is. I think, okay. You know, because I think it won't stay that way. I don't always tell them that because it often isn't the most helpful thing to tell somebody, to be aware that you'll feel crummy again. Because they think, well, the training's been so helpful, it makes me feel so great. And I think, that's nice.
It seems like I know I like to, I really want to settle into a comfortable situation, you know, that's to my liking and everything, but really, what the training is we have to adapt to ever-changing conditions. In other words, conditions are always changing, but I want things to be comfortable. Like, I remember my parents, when I would go to visit them in their later years, they don't like to have their routine disturbed. You know, I was thinking, well, you know, life is going to disturb your routine. You know, you can't hang on to that, whatever you think that routine is. And that's what we like to do.
And that's, again, the hard aspect of training, is the fact that things are taking effort, you know, and they won't be comfortable. I mean, it's the nature of karma, even when you work, even when you're like your parents, you know, if you get older, you know, after a while it can be uncomfortable. Everything can get hard. You know, it's why in the end you can't live on your own, because you have everything the way you want them to be. And it's why most people end up staying too long. Like, when you're a senior, they say, everybody usually leaves their home too late. You know, every step along the way, it's too late, because everyone's fighting. You know, the fact that they have to do what you're saying, which is change, and that's hard, but it won't keep working, you know, because they're falling apart. You know, and sometimes I'll hear the most amazing stories of what people did so they wouldn't have to face the what their karma is. You know, it's kind of extraordinary. It's like heartbreaking how much effort they put into, like, staying in their own home when it wasn't going to work, and it wasn't working, but they just didn't want to change. And accept that it's hard. You know, all you have to do is think, God, I don't want to move.
But it seems like it's generating a lot more suffering than really is necessary.
Oh, yeah.
Because if we just accept the fact that, okay, this situation has changed, and this is what I need to do now.
Yeah. In fact, if you really discipline yourself, there is no suffering. And that's the secret of training. You know, the suffering is always what we can't let go of. So at any point we can let go. And the complete softness is there, but it takes the hard work of working at letting go and working at letting go. And we can find out there's no barrier. It's like, wow. It's not like, wow, it hurts to be somewhere else, or it hurts not to have what you want, or all those things. If you just bring yourself back, it's okay. Your body hurts, that's okay too, if you really... And I've been around people in tremendous physical pain who were perfectly okay. You know, who even said, this is the best they've ever been. It's only because they let go of everything. You know, they really let go on a deep level. So they were actually doing better than they were. And they were in really sharp, bad pain. Because I'm thinking of somebody I knew who had bone cancer, and you know, and they couldn't any more narcotics, he would be dead. So it was like either I go unconscious, die, or I put up with a lot of pain. And she was just glowing. She just said, "This is the best I've ever been in my life." You know, I've quoted this before, but it's very moving because I remember her saying, "You know, I just, it's a shame I waited till."
Yeah.
Of course, she didn't have to wait. You know, we don't have to wait.
Well, I was just thinking how little children want routine because they feel so insecure, everything that's beyond their understanding. And animals often want routine for the same reason. It feels secure for them. And I think sometimes older people want routine for the same reason, that it gives them the illusion that they're more in control and that things are okay.
Yeah.
With
that clinging to
the fact, we all like routine.
Yeah,
when you think about it. I mean, I can put up with it, but I like some, like, you know, a morning, like, you know, kind of where I know what's happening and I know when I'm going to have breakfast. It's like I was visiting one temple where the monk is famous for just losing sight of what's going on and just getting caught up in things. So it's like you never know when anything's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, yeah, in the average retreat here, we often don't eat breakfast till about 11 because he just forgets. And you would like not to be sitting there being wondering, when are we going to have breakfast? Which is a normal thing because I even like the routine of, I like having my coffee. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, can we let go of it? And when I was visiting, I just realized, okay, I have to let go of this. You know, I don't know. Or I could even, I don't know. And sometimes I would just say something like, I want to eat now. When I felt like it seemed appropriate because, you know, I'm hungry. Can we eat? Just to kind of, okay, you know, because you wouldn't take offense at it. So, anyway, nice to see everybody. Hope everyone has.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good. Retreat next week, so. Yeah.